Historic. That's the word that the civil rights group, the Advancement Project, is using to describe the Obama administration's new guidelines for schools to try to stem arrests and expulsions. As Attorney General Eric Holder said yesterday, a routine school infraction should land a student in the principal's office, not in the police precinct. Now, we reported recently on the scandal in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, in which two judges were found guilty of sending thousands of kids to detention centers for minor offenses in exchange for kickbacks from the centers. We'll link you to that story at hearnow.org. At that time, we heard that schools are also increasingly arresting kids for minor infractions because of zero tolerance policies, which civil rights groups have long said contribute to a school-to-prison pipeline and disproportionately punish Black and Hispanic children for minor offenses. Well, yesterday, the Justice Department agreed. Marsha Levick is Deputy Director and Chief Counsel of the Juvenile Law Center. By the way, she was involved in litigating that case against the judges in Luzerne County. But Marsha, your reaction to these new guidelines for every school?
I think the guidelines are long overdue. We have all obviously supported the basic idea behind zero tolerance policies, which is to promote safety in schools, to reduce or eliminate, obviously, instances of school violence. But zero tolerance policies in their implementation went too far. They ended up really ensnaring kids, like the kids in Luzerne County, who committed minor disciplinary infractions, who got in school fights, got in the kinds of behaviors that 15 years ago really would have simply resulted in something like an after-school detention room, suspensions or expulsions, but not referral to the juvenile justice system.
Well, again, zero tolerance policy meant pretty much one strike and you're out, whether it was truancy, a fight in school, or something even far more serious.
It meant one strike and you're out, and it also meant one size fits all. So rather than teaching students what civic responsibility means, we actually demonstrated that we as adults could be remarkably unfair and irrational in how we meted out discipline.
Well, one of the results of the zero tolerance policy is that more schools hired more police officers to help them implement the zero tolerance policy. Became kind of a vicious cycle. More police officers led to more arrests, more expulsions. What do you think about the guidelines now to try to train people?
I think that they're going in the right direction. I think that we've seen some progress, for example, in Broward County in Florida, where Broward County essentially reversed itself by keeping disciplinary problems within the school, by providing more counseling services and other kinds of assistance to students. They have apparently reduced school arrests by about 40%. They've reduced school suspensions by almost two-thirds. So we've seen that if we utilize the resources that we can have and that we can support within the school system to deal with these kinds of disciplinary infractions, again, not infractions involving guns and knives and other kinds of violence, that we can create a positive school environment where we can also promote positive educational outcomes.
Well, and the administration is calling on schools to train staff to be able to de-escalate classroom issues, something you're talking about they're already doing in Broward County, draw more distinct boundaries between teachers and security officers, get security at the school more involved with families. These are some of the recommendations. But Daniel Domenic, he's executive director of the School Superintendents Association, told the AP that there's no money for this. You know, federal funding for programs to address school discipline have been cut. So do you sympathize with schools who might have found it financially easier to hire a law enforcement officer and just let them handle discipline?
Well, isn't that a terrible commentary?
Well, it is, but there, you know, yes. If there's no money, how are you going to train people?
Well, I think that, again, we allowed ourselves to really go off the beaten path here. We invested in metal detectors rather than invest in school counselors. I think that we do need to make a commitment to shift resources. Obviously, it would be wonderful to see the federal government put some money behind the policies and recommendations that they came out with yesterday. But I think that we also need to hopefully look to states and to local communities to provide better resources so that schools can shift their resources to, as I said, promote positive educational outcomes and not push kids into the juvenile justice system and push them out of schools.
Well, and again, schools would say that in many cases, schools are turning into places where they have to parent as well as teach. You know, is there a sense that some schools are feeling as if they're handling far more of a problem than other parts of the country are?
I think it's exaggerated. I think that schools have been permitted to feel like this is not their responsibility. But I think one of the other comments that was made yesterday in some of the comments by Secretary Duncan and Attorney General Holder was this idea that routine school discipline shouldn't lead to a 911 call. Schools need to, I think, get back to playing a role in developing good behavior models. I don't think that that's disconnected from the role that education plays in this country.
Well, in our reporting on what happened there in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, we spoke with Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter William Eckenbarger, who wrote the terrific book Kids for Cash. Again, this is very extreme. These were judges who were sending kids to private detention centers for kickbacks. But within that book, we also learned about the widespread school-to-prison pipeline. And we also met Sandy Fonzo. She's the mother of Edward Kenzikowski, who killed himself after his wrongful detention in Luzerne County. Again, he'd been a student. And during the trial of one of the judges, Mark Chiavarella, she came face to face with him and said this. Let's listen.
My kid's not here. He's dead because of him.
Again, that is, Marcia, that's very, very extreme, an extreme case of what happens when a kid with a minor infraction ends up in a prison situation. But what have you seen happen for kids who have been sent to detention centers or expelled or arrested because of minor infractions, when there isn't this kind of scandal or kickback involved? It's just the way a school was operating.
Right. Luzerne County did expose the very dark side of zero tolerance policies, but it also, I think, is a mirror to reflect that when you push kids into the juvenile justice system, you deprive them of key instructional time and opportunities within their regular public school settings. And any kind of disruption often is irreplaceable. Kids have an enormous difficulty going back once they face that disruption. And those kinds of disruptions lead not only to poor educational outcomes, they lead to poor social outcomes and employment outcomes. So the school-to-prison pipeline that we have been nurturing in this country through zero tolerance policies is a pipeline that we need to be reversing. And I hope that these policies and guidelines that were announced yesterday may be the first step back, walking back from that pipeline.
Marcia Levick, Deputy Director and Chief Counsel of the Juvenile Law Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And by the way, to learn more about a new movie about the truly tragic scandal in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, go to hereandnow.org, where we'd also love your thoughts on the new government guidelines to stem school arrests. Teachers, parents, kids, let us hear from you at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.